Weak solidarity, Becky Team listener, when hostilities in Iran and Zion incursions across the Middle East are about to end. Not just because US of the UN of the US of the world, Big Supremo Donald Trump or the poor boasted, we've won, the biggest we've won ever, 3 weeks ago. But more importantly, that revered world statesperson, true blue Aussie Big Supremo Anthony Albanese, urged the US of and Zion to cease hostilities. That should do the trick. We've become aware over time that every time Anthony or the Minister for Going Overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, penny left wing, call on the parties to, etc., the incredible impact it has on the parties called on. Donald and his marionette master, Zion Supremo Benjamin, not another Yahoo, reacting favourably as usual. A true blue Aussie has spoken. And don't forget, Anthony on our behalf supported the slaughter and destruction, so he must know Donald was spot on. And he has more important things, this is Anthony, of course, to worry about, like an energy crisis, thanks to the slaughter and destruction he supports. But now says the job is done, which we'd understand a lot better if we had the slightest idea what the job is. Although Zion settlers in the West Bank, backed up by Benjamin's trained killers, have ignored Anthony's plea, continuing to invade and burn and destroy and displace non-land, non-people Palestinian villages and farms, who only have themselves to blame, for non-land, non-people, by definition, have no right to land, no right to be terrorists, which Benjamin and the settlers assure us they are, and every right to be terrorised by the occupiers who are not terrorists. See, it's obvious that if you oppose or resent being terrorised, then you are a terrorist. The being offensive and trained killing war is running parallel to a war of words. Donald assuring us Iran wants to do a deal. Evil Iran insisting it doesn't. Yes, you do. No, we don't. Because everything with the Don is doing a deal. Former FBI Supremo Robert Mueller, a typical US odd political figure with whom I suspect we'd have very little in common, terrorised poor Donald by investigating a Russian link to Donald's 2016 election, Russian deal, and found, yes, there was a link, but no, he couldn't find enough evidence to charge Donald with anything, but that was enough for Donald to realise what a dangerous maniac Mueller was. A horrible, horrible person. And yet, with his renowned magnanimity and generosity and live and let live, Donald paid his tribute to Mueller. Good. I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. Poor, hurt, innocent Donald. Wonder what those poor, hurt, innocent people rotting in cells after being picked up by Donald's ICE thugs think about that. In a major decision, Donald's Secretary for War, for being offensive and trained killing Pete Hug Killstuff, has banned photographers from Pentagon press conferences because he didn't like a particular picture of himself. If only Pete would restrict himself to vital decisions on such critical global matters, the world would be a lot better place. His commander-in-chief, who'd obviously thought through all the likely consequences before launching his attack, knowing evil Iran would capitulate in a matter of hours, is having a few little problems sorting out that blockage in the Straits of Hormuz, which he knows is down to 100% to evil Iran and has absolutely nothing to do with him. Nothing negative, nothing bad ever is. A blockage that may or may not have had something to do with Anthony's volte-face. Cease hostilities, but it certainly shows the extent of the world's fossil behemoths' campaign to transition from themselves. One step back and two steps back. Indeed, quote, energy experts tell us the fossil blockage shows we must develop our vast oil resources and become self-sufficient in pollution, which we thought we already were. Small catch. It, such as in Bass Strait, requires the onomatopoeic fracking. Get fracked, Bass Strait. But a bit of government resolve and conviction and courage could solve that, as one of those experts, Melbourne Uni academic Ian Plunder Fossils, explained. At this point, satire admits defeat. Direct quote, If we had no onerous environmental regulations, which are repeated on the local, state and federal level, if we didn't have any environmental lawfare there, and if we did not have unions stopping construction, it would take us 5 years to become self-sufficient. We can't compete, listener. How can we satirise that? But yet again, it exposes the dangerous threat, an obvious tautology, dangerous threat, these long-haired, commie, greeny, wooden worker denying environmentalists and lazy, avaricious workers are. And again, that scourge of development and productivity and progress, evil environmental lawfare. The polluters have been crying out for environmental lawfare to be outlawed as it retards progress and profit, without explaining how come in many cases the long-haired, commie, greeny lot win the case. All the more reason to ban them given the law is so grossly, grossly unfair. Oh, and by the way, if you're enjoying breakfast, especially if it's something grown in the soil or that eats something grown in the soil, eat up and enjoy. A Griffith University analysis informed us just 15% of pesticides widely used in Trouvaloisi agriculture have full international approval, while 60% of high-use pesticides used in Trouvaloisi are banned in the European Union. Interesting that, given our farmers were complaining this week about not enough access to the European Union after we signed that so-called free trade agreement. Anyway, eat up and enjoy. The lowest of the low paid will be able to eat up and enjoy even more than the high life they already live after the Fair Work Trouvaloisi No Longer Work Choices Just Looks Like It Con Mission brings down its annual lowest of the low paid wage decision. And let's hope the bench doesn't destroy the economy as we know it, with the ACTU seeking an outrageous 5% increase, which caring employers explain would destroy the economy if we know it, and even the socialists calling for an increase that would be a real increase vis-a-vis inflation. The evil unions making the ludicrous claim that 5% of the lowest of represents 0.something or other of the national wage bill. Ludicrous, because, okay, even if the figure is correct, 0.something of the national wage bill is a lot of money. A lot of money being taken from the pockets of caring employers and shareholders. The evil unions are so uncaring. Why, our old mate Innes will cost the workers of the Trouvaloisi Industry Profits Group, with his revered sensible logic, put it succinctly. Above inflation wage demands at a time of weak productivity and a global energy crisis could stoke inflation further and prolong economic pain. And we can but imagine the economic pain poor Innes is suffering. There is a real risk of stagflation, he warned, and then his most sensible and reasonable proposition. All parties must take a responsible and careful approach if we are to navigate these waters successfully. Well, we know the caring employers will take a responsible and sensible approach, but the evil unions always get their timing so wrong, don't they? On evil unions, Lord Rupert of Wapping, through his Wapping sin, was forced to choose between two evils. Evil unions and the evil state socialists, providing two diametrically opposed versions of two strike actions. The teachers' huge strike and march, opposed to the evil state socialists, thus Lord Rupert delivered a favourable report. And the ABC staff off-air for 24 hours, ABC staff air their pay grievances, hit the pub, big headline. Staff hijack the airwaves to put their case for a taxpayer-funded wage rise. And then worse, many headed to the pub. Yes, some were spotted at a hotel, despite holding signs earlier in the day saying they could not afford their power bills. Outrageous. Although maybe it was cheaper to utilise the publican's power. In fact, we all have to tighten our belts, including the government, big economic guru Jim Chalmers Capital agreeing and promising he'll make spending cuts in the budget. The business class pointing out the critical spending we must not cut, like corporate welfare, and the caring business class, Hayseed and Sheepshit Parties Coalition, joining big business in calling for slashing government spending, while also calling for government support for the caring business class during the fuel crisis, more corporate welfare, without seeing there might just be a slight contradiction in all that. Why, our very own filthiest rich of the filthy rich, Gina Hart-Hart, displayed her genuine concern for those doing it tough by calling for the tax on fuel to be scrapped, pointing out it would also hurt the caring business class, by coincidence naming the sundry areas in which she happens to have the odd economic interest. It warms the cockles, doesn't it, to know the filthy rich so care about all of us. Although, naturally, Gina doesn't want the diesel excise fuel subsidy to her sundry interests cut, understandably. And to show those paid to support the filthy rich are also struggling along, sure, we all noticed reserve losses banks of Primo Michelle Bulldust on the very day she announced another interest rate she understood, compassionately understood, would hurt those doing it tough, settled purchase of a $2 million-plus little holiday shack on the New South Wales north coast at Yamba, with lots of delightful, very expensive features, including a glass-enclosed wine cellar. Michelle also has a few other investment properties around Sydney as well as her residence, but she knows her interest rate increases will hurt those not quite able to afford such luxury. It's just the economy of the filthy rich must come first. Couple of finalies. Pollution giant Glen Rotten to the core, upset at this socialist madness that workers doing the same work should receive the same pay, is asking its directly employed workforce to vote that its labour hire workforce should receive a fraction of their pay, throwing in a few incentives to encourage a yes vote. The evil union claiming it would result in a $36,000 a year wage cut for labour hire workers, let's repeat, doing the same job, while the evil ETEU is threatening strike action in the Pilbara, where the great polluters explain they have lived union-free for decades and union interference in their win-win agreements would cost the poor dears millions. But then, if it's win-win, how come workers joining a union would cost millions? It's a mystery, listener. Good morning.